Okay, we're up to the Gemara here, the Chav Zayin's Tav Gemara here. So first we had the opinion of Rav. Rav came along and said that there were five brothers. Three of them were married to three sisters and they died. The two remaining brothers now have three sisters to contend with, and obviously they cannot marry any of the sisters because each one is the sister of a skuka, because they're attached to you. As soon as their husband dies, they're attached to them. Now you, even though you're only going to marry the first one, but each sister is a sister of someone else who's supposed to be your wife. So therefore, you cannot marry any of them. You got to give chalitza. So you give chalitza to one wife, the other brother gives to the other wife, and then the third woman, the third girl, needs to get chalitza on both. The logic in that is because it's a weak chalitza. Why is it a weak chalitza? Any chalitza where you can't, you don't have the option of marrying them is considered a weak chalitza, which means when you release them, it's not a total release. So because the first two sisters, when they got married, they were only the sister of a skuka, which is only midrabban. So if one brother gives her a release, she's released from everybody. But Shenke, when the third sister comes along, she's not, her problem is not that she's a sister of a skuka, they're no longer skukas, you gave the other two chalitzas, but she's the sister of a chalutza. And the sister of a chalutza, you cannot marry. So therefore, when she receives a chalitza, now since you have no choice of marrying her at all, it's a very weak chalitza, so each brother needs to give her a chalitza. Otherwise, she's only half free. That's what Rav came along. Even though Rav personally doesn't believe a zika, he's talking according to those who don't believe a zika. Shmuel comes along and he says, in the exact same case, no, that not only that the third girl can be released by one brother, it seems that all three girls can be released by one brother. So we're asking, the Gemara is asking, what do you mean all three girls? Rav Shmuel agrees with the principle that a weak chalitza, where you have no choice, you cannot marry, it does not have the ability to release them completely. You know, you have to go through all the brothers. So how can it be that one brother can release all three? It's even, that's much more lenient than Rav. And how do we know, let's quickly go through the Gemara again. How do we know that Shmuel holds that a weak chalitza is not a bad chalitza? Shmuel, top of the page. Shmuel says, Cholat la'achoye, two sisters, Chav Zayin Omelav, top line. No, Cholatz. There were two sisters that fell before two brothers, and each one had another wife, a co-wife. And is cholatz la'achoyes, if he gave chalitza to the sisters, he couldn't marry anyway because each sister is a sister of a zukuka. Therefore, it's not strong enough to release also the co-wife because it's a weak chalitza. Lo niftru tzaras. Mashengen, if you gave the chalitza to the co-wife, then you don't have to. Then it releases it completely. You don't have to give another chalitza to the sisters because the chalitza to the co-wife is perfect. So the Gemara like this: Heicha de kaima chalitza de Shimon chalitza ksheida, where Shimon, if he would have given the chalitza, if Shimon would have given the chalitza to the second woman, let's say if one brother gave to one wife and the other brother gave to the other wife, it would have been a chalitza ksheida. Cholos la Reuven chalitza psula. Then Reuven, if you have a choice, you could have given the other brother, should have given a chalitza to the second woman, which would have been then a much stronger chalitza. If the same brother gives chalitza to the second wife, the second sister is a chayis chalutzasa. He's the same one who gave chalitza to the first one. It's a very weak chalitza. And you have a choice. You could rather have the other brother giving a chalitza. So all it is a chayis kukasa, the sister of someone who should have been married to you, which is very weak. So, which is a chayis kukasa, and that's a strong yisr. So why does Shmuel come along and say that one brother can give chalitza to all of them? Wouldn't it have been better that if one brother gives chalitza to one woman and another brother gives chalitza to another woman, which would have been a much stronger form of a chalitza? Shmuel says, right. You know what it means when Shmuel said, Echer chayis l'kula nam nekomar? I'm tzoyis. And the third sister he's talking about. When it comes to the third sister, I disagree with Rav. Rav holds the third sister needs a chalitza from both brothers because it's so weak, you need from both brothers to be released. I hold that the third sister can go to one brother and that's enough. Because he holds, you don't have to go to all the brothers. But the Gemara of Kulan Kama, but this clearly says, actually Shmuel said, Echad is Chaylis Likulan, four lines on top. That it says Kulan, sounds like all the girls can go to one guy. So he says, no. He didn't mean all of them. He mean two of the girls. Kiv and the Rube Gaber, three girls, three sisters, and two of them go to one guy, Kodal as if he's doing all of them. Says the Gemara, V'yiboy Seyma, if you want, I can tell you another answer. You know, I can even tell you that what? No, one brother can do all three sisters. Shmuel says that a weak chalitza is not good. So why would Shmuel allow one brother to give release all three sisters? Wouldn't one brother release one sister and the second brother release the other one? So you're only, you'd rather have a case of the sister of a zkuka rather than the case of a sister of a chalutza. Sister of a chalutza is a very weak chalitza because there's no way in the world you can marry her. Kikar mashmul. When is Shmuel hold? You need a chalitza ma'al yibin. When does he hold? You need a very valuable chalitza, good chalitza, hani milimita tzarasa. When it talks about in the case over there, you have sisters and you have co-wives, and you have a choice of either giving a chalitza to the sisters or chalitza to the co-wives. Then he says better to give a chalitza to the co-wives because chalitza sisters is a weak chalitza. Avol mifter nafsha potra. In other words, you want to release the co-wives and you give this, the chalitza to the sister, it's not strong enough to release the co-wife. But if you give it to the sister, it is strong enough. She doesn't need to go to every single brother to get a release. And therefore, Shmuel holds that all three sisters can go to one brother, and it's good enough because each one will receive, each of these three sisters got a chalitza. And that's good enough to pater herself. When does Shmuel say it's not good enough is regarding patering the co-wife. For that, you need a stronger chalitza. Shmuel said, if you gave a chalitza to the sisters, the co-wives are not muta, since you cannot marry the sisters of the chalitza, you can only give them a chalitza because each one is a sister of a zkuka, so you give them a chalitza, it doesn't release the co-wives, and you separate chalitza. But if you gave it to the tzaddas, if you released the tzaddas, then automatically it's much stronger chalitza, because if you want, you could have married the tzaddas. So therefore, niftir achayis, the sisters are pot. For the Gemara, says Gemara, right, sorry. Cholatz lebalas aget. What happens if two yavamas from one brother? What happens if the yavam, the brother decided instead of a chalitza, he gave her a get? He never married her, but he gave her a divorce. Now, divorce is not really a chalitza. You still need a chalitza afterwards. But you sort of said, I'm not going to marry you. By giving a get, you're preempting that I'm not going to marry you. So you sort of did a little bit of tiny release, but it doesn't really do much other than I'm not going to marry her. So what?
Because you have no balance.
But you're zakuka. You're attached, or there's something there. So I'm giving a get to sever that attachment, but it's a shvach. It's not motedus. It tells you can do chalitza. So when the rabbanon something happened, because the rabbanon want, you know, people see a get and then they're living, you know, living with her, what's going on here? It's confusing. So we say something happened, you can't live together anymore, and so on. So what happens if cholatz lebalas haget? If you gave chalitza to the woman that you gave a get to in the first place, two sisters, you gave a chalitza to the woman you gave a get to. There's no sisters there, just two wives of Reuven, and Reuven died, and you gave a get to one of the wives. If you now give her chalitza, because your relationship with her is you can't marry her anymore because you gave her a get. So the chalitza now is sort of a weaker chalitza than a normal chalitza because she's already.
But giving you a get, you can still remarry.
No, the Rabban don't allow you by case of Yivam. They don't allow you. So by giving her a get, you sort of brought her down. And something, you know, a little bit, you severed your tie. So the chalitza now is a lower level chalitza. If you give her a chalitza, it doesn't exempt the co-wife. Had you given a chalitza to the other woman, you had nothing to do with. It's a complete release, and it releases. You don't have to give a chalitza to every single woman who's married to your brother. You give a chalitza to one, it's enough. So, but if you give a chalitza to the one you gave a get to, it's a weaker chalitza. It does not. It releases her, but it doesn't release the co-wife. So. Because the Torah says there's only two ways of releasing this woman. Either you marry her or you give her a chalitza. So just because you gave her a get, the get's not really a good get. What's the get? You never married her to give her a get. It's more like going through the motions. Yeah. So therefore, chalitza b'az get, l'nif t'tzara, this is a co-wife, does not become exempt from that. However, l'tzara, but if you gave a chalitza, okay, you gave one woman a get, then you went to the other woman and gave her a chalitza. Then it releases everybody. Niftar balas aget, because it's a strong chalitza. Every house, it's only based chalos now. If a brother is married to five wives and he died, you don't have to give, if there's only one brother, surviving brother, you don't have to give a chalitza to every one of them. You give a chalitza to one, it sets them all free. Yeah. Cholatz lebalas hamaymer. What happens? You went to one woman, you gave her, all you do is you got to have beer and you're married. Because you sort of attached to each other. But you gave her a ring, like you went through the normal formalities of a marriage. So it's called a maimer. You said something to her. It doesn't have the same strength as getting married, engaged in a normal case, but you did a maimer. And then you gave her a chalitza. Now what happened? By me giving her a ring, she's engaged to me in my Torah now. So I have to give her a proper get. So if I give her a chalitza, even though I gave her a chalitza now, but she's still tied to me because of the engagement I gave her. She still needs a get. So the chalitza also becomes weaker. Doesn't release the co-wife. Cholatz lebalas hamaimer. If you gave her chalitza, l'nif t'tzara, the co-wife is not exempt because he still needs a get. L'tzara, nif t'tzara, but if you get to the other woman, she becomes, even the balas hamaimer is potter from chalitza. All she needs to do is a get now. She doesn't need another chalitza. Maishno, so why, what's the difference? Why is it lachoyas? When it comes to the case of the sisters, we say if he gave a chalitza sister, the lineage to the tzara is not exempt. Why? Because you're giving a chalitza to a woman that is a sister of someone who's attached to you. And you cannot marry her, so therefore you're chalitza, we chalitza. It doesn't exempt the co-wife. So the chayde, let's say you gave chalitza to the co-wife, which you said before is valid enough, but also you can't marry the tzaddis, because the din is you're not allowed to live with the co-wife of a sister of a zika. Just like you're not allowed to live with a sister of someone who's attached to you, nor can you live with her co-wife. Just like we had in the first Mishnah, the co-wife of an erva is aser, the co-wife of a chayzik kokas is also aser. So why is it if you gave her a chalitza, so a weak chalitza now, because you can't marry her? Remember, the definition of a weak chalitza is if you don't have a choice of being able to marry her. If you can't marry her, so a weak chalitza, okay, you gave it to the tzara, she should be free, but why would that free the other wife, the co-wife, who's a sister of the kokasai? And you said before it does, but it's a weak chalitza. But he married an ami. Leiv through achoyis of the tzaddas. Achoyis ish bezikah. It's a tzaddah of the sister of which bezikah he can't marry. Shmuel holds ain't zikah. Shmuel holds that there's no such thing as zikah, and there's no such thing as achoyis kukasai. She could marry this tzaddah. She could marry the basis, the co-wife, and therefore it's a valid chalitza. He said, "Gemara, how can I be?" But Amar Shmuel says, "Yes, zikah." Shmuel Beferish holds there is zikah. And the Gemara, the Divya Eimer zikah comes. He's talking now according to the opinion who doesn't hold zikah. Amazing. Rav before said halacha, even though he holds there's no zikah, he was talking according to the opinion holds yes zikah. Shmuel says a halacha, and even though he presently holds zikah, he's talking according to the opinion don't believe a zikah. Very confusing. But the Gemara, ihachi, if as if this is the only confusing part here. Ihachi, if so. If you tell me he doesn't believe his cook at all, so what? Then forget about the tzaddas. What about the sisters themselves? Why can't you give a proper chalitza to the sister here? She has another sister who's attached to you, but Shmuel doesn't believe. He's talking according to the opinions of all, there's no attachment. So even though she's not a sister of anybody, he didn't do anything to the other girl, so why can't you give her a good chalitza? Because you have a choice, you could marry her. She's a sister of someone else, you should marry. Shmuel doesn't believe in that concept. He's talking according to doesn't believe that concept. So why only the tzaddas are valid chalitza, even for the sisters of if you gave a chalitza sister, why doesn't the tzaddah become exempt? Okay, I can say this. I can understand if you gave a chalitza to the second one, it's not potter. If you gave a chalitza to the first one, to the first, there's two brothers who died. If you gave a chalitza to the Rachel and Leah, Rachel, let's say, was the husband died first. If you gave a chalitza to Rachel first, and then Leah comes along, the second family, there I can understand why if you give a chalitza to the second, to Shimon's wife, to Shimon, who's a sister of the girl you gave a chalitza to, achoyis chalutzos, everyone agrees you cannot give a chalitza to. So that's you cannot marry me. So that's a weak chalitza, so I understand. If you're talking about the second brother, I understand that the chalitza to the sister is a weak chalitza because it's a sister of someone you gave a chalitza to already, you gave a chalitza to the first sister. So therefore, the chalitza there doesn't set free the co-wife, but if you gave a chalitza to the co-wife, it sets her free. But if you gave a chalitza to the first sister, to Rachel, at that time, you could have married her. She's a sister of a zikukasa, let's assume that right away. Doesn't matter, because there's no such thing as a chalitza kukasa, doesn't believe a zika. So there, the din should be different between whether it's the wife of the first brother or the wife of the second brother. The wife of the first brother, you could have married. The chalitza is strong, it should release the co-wife. The wife of the second brother is a weak chalitza because it's a sister of a chalutzasa. There, it doesn't set free. So we should make a distinction. I understand. Since it's the first wife is a very valid chalitza, it should pater the co-wife as well. Says the Gemara, you're right. Maybe Myla Niftur Tzaddas Dam, but they come out Tzaddas Rachel. Maybe Shmuel's Din Take, when he says that the co-wife needs a separate chalitza, was talking about the second Shimon's wife. So much Shimon's wife, the second man, the brother that died. But the first brother died, Take, the chalitza to the sister is valid and it also exempts the co-wife. But the Gemara, but clearly he said Tzar Reis Kamar, he said Tzar is plural, sounds like both co-wives, Reuven's and Shimon's. Sort of the Alma, it doesn't mean that both, he's talking about Stam, any other case like this, all those women, all those co-wives, need a separate chalitza. If so, why does it say, if you gave a chalitza to the co-wife, it exempts the sister. If you gave a chalitza to the tzaddah, of the sister of the chalutza, those who gave Shimon's wife. So you're saying, we're talking about Shimon's wife. So Shimon's wife, there, if you gave to Shimon's wife, does not pater the co-wife. But if you gave to Shimon's co-wife, then it paters the sister. But the sister is the chalutza. So lechayde chol latzas tadiv lechayde vatzaras rochel mi miftirim ishipote. But now we learn osar adam, a person is osar bitzaras kreivas chalutzasa. Since the co-wife of Shimon's wife is the co-wife of a sister of a chalutza, it's not stamma, of course, and therefore the din is that you're osar also in her relatives. In other words, it doesn't automatically become mutter. Shmuel is talking about if he started, when he says he's dinim, he's talking about he started from the first wife and he ended with the second wife. This is how he learns. His chil ba'achoyes, if he started first the sisters, he gave them chalitza, and then lo yigme b'tzaris, it doesn't conclude the tzaris. Itnan, we learned, osir, adam, a person is forbidden, bitzaras, kreves, chalutzasa, a person is forbidden with the tzara of the color of your relative. So the other wife now is a sister of a chalutza. So her co-wife is the tzara of the sister of a chalutza, so you're not allowed to get married to her either. So it's a weak chalitza. So then in that case, if you give a chalitza to the co-wife, it would not exempt the sister, because it's weak both ways, you can't marry her. In other words, in the Shimon's wife, you cannot live with Shimon's wife because she's the sister of a chalutza of Reuven's wife. And now the co-wife, you couldn't live with either because she's the co-wife of the sister of a chalutza. And the co-wife of the sister of a chalutza, you can't marry either. So the chalutza you're giving her is a weak chalutza because you have no option of marrying her. If it's a weak chalutza, then the chalutza doesn't work for the sister. It works only for whoever you gave it to, not the other sister. So for neither one it works. But if he's chil betzaras, if first you gave a chalitza to the tzaras, then that's much more effective. Then yigmar af b'chayis, then automatically includes the chayis as well. Now we learned mutar adam b'kreivas ha'yuchalosasai. We learned that a person is permitted in the tzara of a chalutza if you started with the tzara before it became a sister of a chalutza. Rav Ashi says no. We say learn in the first place. The way we learn to chachilah that what? That doesn't matter who you start, which brother you start with. We'll learn in the first place that if you gave chalitza to the sisters, the co-wives are not potter because there's a zika and all that thing that you said before. I ask the question: there should be a difference between the first wife and the second wife, between Reuben's wife and second wife. Umushim deloya lima zika l'shaviyah l'tzara ke'erva. However, your question was the chayyeh. She's the tzara of the sister of a wife. So even giving the second, even Shimon's tzara is not a valid chalitza because he can't marry her because she's the tzara of the achayis zekosai. You should know there's a difference. That zika is not strong enough to extend to the co-wife. Zika only limited to the sisters themselves. So each sister is achayis kukosai. But we don't say that each tzara is the tzara of achayis kukosai. And therefore, if you gave a chalitza to the tzara, it's a strong chalitza because if you wanted, you could have married the tzara. Because my it's not a chalutzasai. It's only achayis kukosai. In other words, achayis chalutzasai. If the wife there is a sister of a chalutza, then you cannot even marry the co-wife. Because the sister chalutza is such a strong issa that extends to the co-wife. But if it's only a chois kukasai, it's only the sister of a zakuk, then it does not extend to the co-wife. So therefore Shmuel says, if you gave the chalutza to the co-wife, you couldn't marry the co-wife, even though she is the co-wife of the sister of a zakuk, that is not asid. It's not strong enough asid. Therefore, since you couldn't marry her, the chalutza is also strong. Mashen gained the sister, obviously you cannot marry, it's a weak chalutza. So if you give her chalutza to the sister, it doesn't go to the co-wife. But if you give chalutza to the co-wife, it does extend to the sister. Okay, confusing?
Yep.
Tanya, we learned Kavash Rabbi, we learned like Kavash Itake, that the Chois Kukosi does not pass on to the Tzara. Cholatz la Chois, the Chalitza sister, loy niftru Tzara, it's a weak Chalitza because you can't marry either sister. The sister of his Kuk, therefore, does not extend to the Tzara's. Cholat Tzara is niftru Chois, if you gave it to the Tzara's, it does extend to the sister. Aye, she's the Tzara of a Chois Kukosi, that doesn't matter, this does not extend there. My time, what's the reason? Love isn't it. The only explanation is that somebody holds yes zika. There is zika. So therefore, the sisters, you cannot give chalitza to properly because each one you're not allowed to marry. It's a sister of a cooker. However, but the zika is not strong enough. The zika is not strong enough to make letzara ke'erva. The zika is not strong enough to say that it extends also to the co-wife. And therefore, the co-wife chalitza you could have married. Strong chalitza and exempt everybody. So Abba says, you know what, who is this? Maybe this is Beis Shammai. B'shamay, he did not. What does he say? B'shamay is matirin hatzor lachim. Why do you have to say that the zika is weak and doesn't extend to the tzara? Just say he followed B'shamay. And B'shamay, if you remember in the beginning of the Masechta, doesn't believe in the whole idea of co-wives. He doesn't believe in co-wives. That's why co-wives are not a problem. That's a pshat. Why do we say give only a chalitza to the co-wife? Let him go married completely. So the Gemara, maybe could Rabbi Yechman Nuri. Rabbi Yechman Nuri said that even according to Beshamay, we decided let's prefer chalitza, so we yaitz according to everybody. Sahil and Sashamay. That's why we say the co-wife should get chalitza. So the Gemara, didn't we learn that he speak with Dover? He didn't have, even though this was his intention, it never worked out. Achiv Nashah, in the moment he lost the moment. Maybe he lost a moment then, but afterwards they fixed it up. That what?
A person didn't marry his co-wife.
A person didn't marry a co-wife if it's you gotta marry a co-wife. Of course you
No. Did they actually marry?
Yes, but if the co-wife is the co-wife of someone that you shouldn't marry, a chois, whatever it is, then maybe you shouldn't marry. We just give chalitza. But it's a strong chalitza because technically you could marry her. Since technically you could marry her, so therefore we're giving chalitza a strong chalitza. So if you gave her chalitza, it automatically exempts the sister. But if you gave chalitza to the sister who you can never marry, because it's the sister of his kukasa, if you hold the zikah, it's a sister of someone else, of another sister who you're supposed to marry, then the chalitza is a weak chalitza, and therefore it does not extend to the co-wife. She needs a separate chalitza to be released. That's what we're saying here. But if you go to the co-wife, technically you could marry, even though we don't let you. We say the chalitza, technically you could marry her, because the sister of his kukka does not extend to the tzara. So therefore, it's a strong chalitza. If she gave her chalitza, it releases also the first wife.
I can't even work out why people would have wanted more than one wife or co-wives.
See later in the Sama Beza, Injim Achleg is Rabbi and Avashi, but how many wives you can marry. Or when you can marry more than one wife.
Why would a person want it? Five wives or... It'd be crazy.
I don't know.
Why would you want to do?
I don't know. Can't tell you. Iboy Elohim. Have a question. What about, okay, get back to the case before. You have two women. One of them you gave a get to. Balas a get. If a brother died, you had two wives. One wife you went ahead to and gave her a get. And the other wife you went ahead to and gave her a maimer. Now the wife you went ahead and gave a get to, so then you have to, you still have to give a chalitza. The wife that gave kedushin to, you have to give a chalitza, obviously, but once you give a chalitza, you still need to give her a get because you gave kedushin. So now you cannot marry either one. So Ezem and Kedemis. So which one should you give chalitza to? One of them you got to give chalitza to. It automatically exempts the other one. Which one should you give chalitza to? Do we say balas I get a difference? It's better to give chalitza to the one you gave a get to, and that automatically exempts the other wife. Why? Why is that better? Shouldn't the ascheba the chalitza? Because get really is like the starting of a chalitza. What's the idea of a chalitza? To separate your ties, right? Sever your ties. And what does a get to? The same thing. So even though it didn't mamsha crumb, but it started. So maybe you should give her the chalitza. Either perhaps balas maimer adifa. Better give the chalitza to the one you gave kedusha to. Because you're about to get, you bring it much closer to you that you should get married to her. So maybe she's better that you should do chalitza, sever her ties. So it looks more right. That even though Gamil says you cannot give a get after a get, there's a get after a maimer. No, but if a brother died, he left behind two wives, and you gave one a maimer. And then you gave a get to the other one, to the other woman. The get giving to the other woman helps. That what? That now you cannot live with either one. Because it says that once you try to break, you cannot rebuild. So now you cannot live with either wife. And nor can you live with the relatives of either woman, because it's like you divorced both of them. And Lucheda, you don't say that since you gave her a maimer is only with the rabbana. It's not mahatayra. Matayda, you're not engaged yet, because Matayda, there's nothing to be engaged about. It's your vama, it's not a regular woman. You're already attached. So, it's only Rabbanan.
You might like one, not the other.
But you gave the other one, by giving the other one a get, you it says in the pasuk, if lo yivne, if you don't want to build a house, you chalitza. It says if you don't want to build. By giving a get, you did a pula. By doing a pula of get, you show. Yeah, so therefore it shows that the whole. And it's one brother, it doesn't matter how many wives he has, it's only one thing. So you can't save everybody else. So I'm giving a little Matayda. So if you move my money, she yes get acha maimer, or maimer acha get. If you gave a get to the first person and then you did a maimer to the other wife, We don't say, oh, the first get was like a chalitza and too late, you cannot give a maima to the other wife. If you gave a maima to the second wife, it helps. And you need, what do you mean? You can't live with her anymore because you gave a get to the first one, but at least you need a get for the maima you just gave. And you're usher in the krayv. The din is if you divorce a woman, even after you divorce her, you cannot live with her sister or anybody else. Her family still usher to you. And giving this get, even though it's a weak get and all that, we treat it as if it's a get and you're not allowed to live with a krayvus. And both, if you give a get to the first wife, you cannot live with either krayvus. You know, the krayvus of both women of your brother. Says you might write, there is a get after my maimon get. E get adiv. Now, if you can tell me that a get is better, if a get is stronger, like the hainim maimon basi, why if you gave a maimon then to the other, after you gave a get to the first wife of your brother, you gave a maimon second wife, why do we say maimon is effective? If the get is much stronger, then that's it. There's no real relationship. The maimon shouldn't have taken any effect whatsoever, because you the maimon is only the rabbani. You're trying to go. So it shouldn't take any effect. If it didn't take no effect, then nothing happened. Why should be usher to her krevis? Why need a get to the second one? And being maimed, oh, if the maimed is better, then loy lahani get basa. If he gave a maimed to the first wife, maybe we've got the second wife. Why do you say if you could no longer marry the first wife? But if maimed is stronger, then he should be able to marry the first one. El lashma must be ki hadad and inu, they're equal. Shmami, no, that's why you can't live with either one. In other words, back to your original question, you have a choice. You can do whatever you want. You want, you can give the chalitza to the one you gave a get to. You want to give a chalitza to the one you gave maimed to. So you want to bite it. Because you can't live with either one anyway. Even the one he gave maimon to, you can't live with because he gave a get to the other one. Remember to say your sister-in-law. The only reason why you're allowed to marry because of mitzvah yibum, but you ruined it because you're giving a get to the other wife. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, it says in the name of Rav, Beis Achoyes Yevomis, you have two sisters. Shenofluz Yomecha, Reuven, Hashem's wives, fell before Levi. Cholatz L'Rishonim. If you, let's say, went to Reuven and you gave a wife and you gave her a chalitza hut, she's not permitted to marry anybody she wants, right? She's a free woman. You went to Shimon's wife, gave her a chalitza. Hutra. Makes no difference which way you go, which order you went. But they're both mutter. Two separate wives, two separate husbands, and two separate brothers. Fine. What about Meisa Rishayna? Let's say the first wife died without a chalitza. We're talking about two sisters, right? Two sisters. But they came for two different brothers. So you give a chalitza to each one, and they're free. But what happens if before you had a chance to give a chalitza or anything else, once you give a chalitza, it's achoyz chalutzasa, achoyz kukasa, you can't marry them. But what happens, the first Reuven's wife died. So now suddenly, Shimon's wife is no longer achoyz chalutzasa, no longer achoyz kukasa, because the first wife, whatever, let's say Leah, is dead. So then the question is, can Shimon marry Rachel? There was a time that they were both asa, she was asa, but now that Reuven's wife died, Shimon's wife became mutter. So we say, but even though it was asa in the beginning, now it's mutter, it's called mutter. Says the mother. If Rachel died, Reuven's wife died, he's allowed to marry now Shimon's wife. He's allowed to marry his wife. Even though there was a time when you're not allowed to marry Shimon's wife because Reuven's wife is still alive. But now that Reuven's wife died, so Shimon's wife becomes mutter. There was us, but now it becomes mutter. The ancient women, for sure, Meisa Shnia, Shemutter B'Rishayna. Sure, let's say when Reuven died, Shimon was still married. Shimon's alive. So Reuven's wife, you could have married Reuven's wife because her sister was still married to your brother. No problem. You didn't do anything about it for a month. And then Shimon died. So she was a chetchila mutter. Then it became asa. And then if Shimon's wife dies, she goes back to original heter. That for sure is mutter. There's no question. My chiddush is that even though Reuven's wife is the one who died, so Shimon's wife was never mutter. Because when Shimon's wife died and Reuven's wife is still alive, sorry, Shimon died and Reuven's wife is still alive, that moment when Shimon died, Shimon's wife was still asa, was the sister of your zakuka. But then if Reuven's wife died, now she becomes mutter. That's the chiddush of Rav. That's Rav's opinion. However, Rav agrees. He says, no, there's a difference who died first. Rav says, Meisa Shnia, the second one died, then Mutter B'Shoina, why? Since the first one was Mutter first, and then became Asa. So it goes back to the first Heter. Avol Meisa B'Shoina, but if the first one died, then Asa B'Shnia. But if the first one died, then you now live the second one. My time, why? At the time when she became, when her husband died, that moment is when the mitzvah yibum really takes place, and then afterwards you just bring it to fruition. At that moment, when Shimon died, Reuven's wife was alive. So at that moment, could you have married Shimon's wife? No, she was a sister of his kuka. So even though a month later you could, once she's usher, she's usher. That's what Rabbi Yechon holds. What about if your sister-in-law, your brother died and left behind children? That's it. Left behind children, she's asked it to you. And it's asr. Same thing here. Once it's asr, it's asr. No heter afterwards. Says the Gemara. The Leslie High Svara. If a Rav doesn't agree with the Svara, that Rabbi Yechon holds, yeah, only if he was mutter right away, then it came asr, then we go back to the mutter. But Rav holds, even if it's asr, now mutter is mutter. Tell the Gemara, Rav does not agree with the Svara that if it was asr in the beginning, it remains asr. But Amar Rav, didn't the Rav say, he made this rule, Kol Isha, any woman. Any woman, when her husband died, at that moment, I cannot fulfill the pasuk Yevama Yavila. As if it's a married woman who had children, then her husband dies. If she had children, even though a year later they die, she's not mitzvah yibam anymore. Fafal. She's asr. Va'asura. So how can Rav over here say that she's mutter? Hani mili. When is that said? When do we say that this rule is asr? She remains asr. Is hecha de koi ba'apa iser achos isha de reise. When we're talking about an iser of the sister of a wife, that's mahatayda. Over here, you didn't marry either one. Aval hocha zika de rabbanan he. Over here, when Reuven's wife, let's say when Shimon died, he couldn't have married Shimon's wife because Reuven's wife was alive. But why couldn't you marry Shimon's wife? Because she's a sister of someone he should marry. That's only the rabbanan. You didn't marry. Had you married Reuven's wife? And then Reuven's wife died. You say, oh, I want to marry Shimon's wife, Fafal. Since she was Asa, she was Asa in the beginning. And Mahatayda, she was Asa. It doesn't become Mutter. But here it was never Mahatayda Asa, it was Rabban Asa. There I hold that if later on it becomes Mutter, it's Mutter. So Gemara, okay, Machlek is Rav Rabbi Yechon. Gemara, Eisvei Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon has a question. It says, yeah. It says in the, it says Arba Achin, if there were four brothers. Suyim Bezachais, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. We had this mission before. Reuven and Shimon married two sisters. Umeisu Hanasun Zachoyes, a Reuven died. And now you have Levi Yehuda. Hadi Elu Chultz of Levi Yamas. What do we do? Since each one is a Chois Kukah, Levi has now two women. Each one is a sister of the one that he could marry. So therefore, you don't marry either one. They give both the Chultz of the Miyam. Now, Lechayde, Bamai, if you hold that even though it was us in the beginning, if later on becomes Mutter, it's all right. So let's, why don't we have one give Chultz, one give Yibum? Leku Chadmanai Lachlitz La Lishnia. Let's encourage, give chalitza to the second. The second wife never had a moment of heter because when her husband died, her sister was around already, and her sister was for the moment that her husband died, Shimon died, she was already asr. So let's give a chalitza to Shimon's wife. Who's left alive? Reuven's wife. But Reuven's wife was mutter for a time. Until Shimon died, Reuven's wife was mutter. Probably nothing happened. But she was mutter. She was only why was she mutter? Because her sister was married at that time to Shimon. So Levi could have married Reuven's wife. Reuven's wife is the sister of Shimon's wife. Who cares? Shimon's married to two brothers married two sisters all the time. So therefore, Levi could have married her. So let's encourage one of the brothers to give a get to Shimon's wife, the one that's the problem. She's gone. Now you have Levi's wife. Okay, she was usher for a while, but now that this Issa is gone, she goes back to her original state, which was if she's mutter. And according to Rav, that's all right. So am I? Give chalitza the second one. Let's go back to the first.
Right, even if you give a get.
No, this is what happened. Reuven and Shimon are allowed to marry two sisters, of course. So when there's no problem marrying two sisters. When Reuven died, can Levi not marry Reuven's wife? Why not? Just because he's sister of Shimon, two brothers marrying two sisters. What gives Reuven or Levi? But then what happened was they by the time they procrastinated. By the time Levi and Reuven's wife were going to do something, Shimon died. So now you can no longer live with his wife because he's the sister of the Zakuk of Shimon, because why? Because you have to marry her. So what do you wish we should do is go give chalitza, let's tell Yehuda Levi, one of them, give chalitza to Shimon's wife, so she's gone. What do you have left now, Reuven's wife? And according to Rav, since he was mutter for a time before the Issa kicked in, and you eliminate the Issa, it goes back to the original state, which is Heter. So let's do that, isn't it? Because Yibim is better than chalitza. But then before that, the chalitza got in Yibim is not a mitzvah. Says Gemara, Amalei Achoyes, this Mishnah of sisters. You're right. I don't know who learnt it. So he says, I don't know who learned it. Yeah. I don't know who learned it. You, Rabbi Yochanan, said that it goes back to the first Heter. I don't know who learned this Mishnah. It doesn't make sense. Malay, Malay. Why? The Yochanan answer is simple. My Cholz is not Medik Tani. You know what it says? It says here Cholz. It doesn't mean that both. Cholz is Chada. It's like only one of them gets Chalitza. Another one, Taki, you marry. Says Yigmara, no. It says Cholz in plural. Masma, both women get Chalitza. Malay, Malay. Why is he answer like answer before the Gemara? My Cholz is Cholz Damu. All women in this situation would have to go Chalitza. No, it says Hare Elu Tani. It's Mephadish. Hare Elu Cholz. We're not talking about the whole world. We're talking about these two women, these two sisters, both need Chalitza. So it doesn't make sense. Because it's Taki, right. I believe that I'm right, and therefore the Mishnah makes sense. Very interesting thing. I believe that I'm right. That if Reuben's wife, Mephadish, could get married, because since she was Chachilah Mutter, you limit the Easter, she can go back to her Heter and get married. And I don't know. And I don't know who authored this Mishnah. The Lema, why don't we say? Why doesn't Rabbi Yechon just answer? We know who the author of the Mishnah is. He's talking about the Cholot of the Shem Bereisha. Maybe the reason why he says both need Chalitza is talking about a case where you first gave Chalitza to Reuven's wife, and therefore she got Chalitza, and then Shimon's wife, you have no Bereisha, because she never had a moment of Heter. So you have to give Chalitza as well. So you have Lema Cholot of Bereisha Bereisha. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon wasn't happy to answer that because Cholotza is the Chachiltani. It doesn't sound like if he gave Chalitza to Reuven's wife, then you have to give Chalitza to his wife. It says Cholotza, that's how you should do it, the Chachiltani. One more line. Let's say Gzeda. Maybe let's say you're right. Mahatayda, he could have married Reuven's wife, or Rabbanu. But Rabbanu were very worried because people get confused. They don't understand. They see two brothers dying with two sisters, and they don't understand that the nuances that we only allow you to marry Reuven's wife, but we don't allow you to marry Shimon's wife. They don't understand the chilik. So Leimalei Gzeda that Rabbanu made a Gzeda. Dilma Kadim v'chol z'shayin bereisha v'chol z'shayin bereisha. V'leimis yamik tani lekedin yivim hacha klal. So he says, no, it says Mephadish V'loy Misyabmas. More answers. By saying V'loy Misyabmas, saying as if they're saying there's no way that you can marry either sister. But according to Rabbi Yechon, Mephadish, you could. If you give Chalitza first to the second wife, you're allowed to marry the first one. It was not there. We'll do it tomorrow.